March 22nd, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is podcast number two. And I encourage everyone to check out podcast number one because today is this podcast series is all about school board candidates. The first one was Angelique Byrne. The second one here is Samuel D'Amico. Sam, how are you this morning?
We're doing fantastic. How are you, Don?
I am great. Thanks. And yes, thanks, Sam. For the reminder, I am your host, Don Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beloved Banting Park neighborhood. I'm joined by my extremely talented producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who's down there at Radio Park at the WAOK studios in Racine. And this is going to be another great interview. Now, my first guest had over 20 years of experience as an educator and some unique experiences that make her a candidate that you should be taking a hard look at. You should take a hard look at all the candidates who are running. But Angelique's educational background is one that's very unique. And you owe it to yourself to listen to that podcast as well, to take a deeper dive into her candidacy. My guest right now, Sam D'Amico, while he has not much of a working experience, he's a 2024 graduate of Waukesha South. What separates him from all the other candidates, and he puts this on his website, is that he is the only school board candidate in the last 20 years that has gone through the Waukesha School District, has been educated through our system, and certainly has a lot of experience from that as a student and maybe someone that's been active in extracurricular activities that brings a certain expertise or some unique perspectives as a member of a potential member of the school board. Could you elaborate some more on that, Sam?
Sure. So, yes, as you said, I'm the only candidate for the Waukesha School Board that has attended Waukesha schools in the past 20 years. And I think that experience brings, several different layers to it. When we're at the school board meetings and we're talking about curriculum and instruction, or we're talking about safety procedures, or we're talking about technology in our classrooms, or just recently as the school board just debated a new policy on how teachers are to interact with students using artificial intelligence. I find myself and students like me at the behest of these decisions because we are the ones that these student that these decisions are going to affect, the students. And we just haven't had a voice at our school board level. There was a school board member who served on the school board a few years back, and I really liked him because he always made sure to remind us why we were all here. He always used to mention his own kids.
Who was that?
Corey Montillo, actually. He used to always mention his own kids and students in the district that would contact him. And I really just enjoyed that he served as a presence to constantly remind us why we were here. And I feel like that level of self-recognition isn't on the board right now. Mm. We're not remembering why we're here. We're not remembering that there's a group of people that don't really have a huge voice in what happens on our school board. And that's the people that it's going to affect the most.
You're the customers.
Yeah.
So could you give me some examples of what you perceive as this lack of priority in terms of putting the students first?
Sure. So just a few months ago, the Waukesha School Board voted to dissolve the three personalized learning programs that we had at our middle schools. I was a student at Horning Middle School, and I went through the Flight Academy
here in Banting Park.
Right there. These were programs that more than 300 students benefited from. And the vast majority of parents that came to the school board meeting wanted these programs to stay open. Other than board members trying to come up with different ideas or trying to talk through administration on how we can preserve at least some element of these programs, can we look at keeping one program and not the other two? There really wasn't much of that. There was one small discussion about opening up the conversation to creating a new charter school, which isn't all by itself a bad idea, but that's a multi-year investment and development that might not even happen. And I feel that was a decision all by itself that really left a lot of people out of the discussion, especially the students that were going through those academies or that wanted to go through those academies if they're in third or fourth grade right now or already had gone through those academies like myself.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, those are good. Some really good points. What are some of the, I'm looking at the postcard and I kind of walked through it with Angelique. We also talked about increasing partnerships with WCTC, that's Waukesha County Technical College, trade employers and other local businesses. Could you elaborate on that more from your experience, especially from your experience as a student about, you know, whether those were existent for you or you were made aware of them, especially while you're in high school and planning your next moves?
Yeah. So those programs or opportunities have existed for a long time. But as I just put out a video on my Facebook, Waukesha South, the school with the engineering academy in it, other than the two other, had the lowest rate of students that were utilizing work study programs as opposed to the other two high schools, which I thought was really interesting because our, you know, Waukesha South makes it a huge pillar that, you know, we can help students get through the healthcare industry and workforce and engineering. And we had the lowest rate of students actually going through work study programs. And I'm not sure, you know, if we're going up or going down on a trend, but it did just have the lowest base of students going in them. And I would say it's probably the same reason as though we have a lot of students who aren't taking opportunities or advantage of scholarships, because we're just not doing a good job at providing students with the opportunity to be aware of what's available. When I was at Waukesha South, I don't remember a single time being proactively informed of scholarships that were available or these work study programs that were available. You really only got told of these programs if you were already enrolled in a business class and at that business class that actually included some of these work study programs.
Okay. Sounds great. Now, you coming right out of Waukesha South class of 2024, I think that's some very unique experience. And I know you're actively promoting that you're someone that just went through the system and you've a lot to share. But do you get many questions from potential voters about, you know, like what they would perceive as your lack of work experience? Go ahead.
Well, I've gotten a few questions about it and then a couple messages on Facebook about it. And, you know, the thing I always go back to, a few different points here to make, I am the candidate who has been involved and knowledgeable on our school board for the longest. I first spoke at our school board about 5 years ago. Only person who can come close to that spoke shortly after I did, just about 6-7 months later. Before that, I had emailed and messaged and kept track of our school board policies in middle school from 6th to 7th and 8th grade. So from that point alone, I do have the longest experience of actually being knowledgeable and inept in our school district on policies that specifically affect me. I will also say that going back to being the only candidate in the race that has gone to Waukesha schools within the past 20 years, there's a lot of issues that are facing our students right now, in addition to standardized testing and safety procedures. Only candidate in 20 years that has gone through a lockdown or a mass shooter drill. Only candidate that has taken a standardized test in the past 2 decades, the four exam, the ACT, etc. And so I feel like when we're looking at ways that we can close the achievement gap or offer more AP classes to students or raise those test scores up, the first place we can start is ask those who are currently taking those, ask those who know students who are taking those, and find out where we can do better. This top-down approach isn't actually working for our school district, because in several key areas, we're not seeing progress that we should.
Sure. That's a really great perspective. And it's something, I mean, you said you're a fan of college basketball. If you remember Dick Vitale from ESPN, he would describe certain freshmen as diaper dandies. So you could call yourself the diaper dandy in this school board election. Fair to say.
Yeah.
So now are you in school right now, like in college or working, or what are you doing currently in addition to running a campaign full time?
So I currently work at Meijer on third shift in Frozen and Warehouse. And then I will likely be going to UW-Milwaukee in the fall. I was told of my acceptance, but I haven't decided exactly where I'll be going.
Sure. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, well, yeah, because I'm sure, you know, I would get questions too when I was running about, you know, how do you balance the shall we say, the full-time responsibilities of being a college student or also having a full-time job and being a school board member. You mentioned how active you were in attending and speaking at school board meetings and paying, you know, being an active participant. How do you plan to balance all that should you be elected? Or how can you convince voters that you've got the balance for it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing I would point at is look exactly at what I've been doing over the past 5 years. That's showing up the school board meetings. That's making myself available. That's starting these conversations. And if I can put that level of commitment towards something that I was not elected for and was not obligated to do, I would hope that voters could be assured that when I am obligated to do something, I will go above and beyond, even when I wasn't obligated to do it.
Interesting. Okay. Some of the bullet points you mentioned in your shared platform with Angelique and Stephanie, and again, Stephanie Fidlin will be one of my guests next week, is fostering parental engagement and feedback to strengthen the partnership between schools and families. Could you elaborate on that some more?
Sure. So we have a lot of candidates in this race talking about parental rights. And, you know, I'd like everyone to understand that I wholeheartedly support parental rights. And I think that the landscape that's been created is that if you're not constantly campaigning every 5 seconds on parental rights, that you don't support them. And so one of the things we really wanted to curtail is the idea that we do not support parental rights, because we absolutely do. And the fact that there are so many parents in the school district that do not believe that they have a seat at the table is inherently wrong. If any parent truly believes that, that's an obvious concern. I've heard from so many parents that have had struggling students in the school district of Waukesha that they had to practically beg the school district to help them with their struggling students. One parent that had contacted me had said that they had started contacting the school district when their child was in sixth grade. 3 years had gone by with no substantial progress being made. And then when that student was in ninth grade and their grades were really started to be looked at seriously, then the district started contacting them to tell them how serious the problem was, when that parent should have been taken seriously 3 years prior.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. What about parental engagement as it applies to policy? It seems like there may have been some negative reactions to where, like, examples of a lot of teachers quitting because parental involvement interference had perhaps influenced the board to eliminate certain learning tools or signage that teachers would have in their own classroom, or maybe books being, I remember at a friend of mine worked at a school years ago where Anne Frank was banned because someone had misinterpreted, or shall I say, even interpreted that there was some lesbian language or something about that, about, you know, and again, as we know, Anne Frank is about a young girl coming of age. Mm-hmm. And the book was banned without any pushback from the school leadership or the board on what is really, we all agree, is a classic that should be, you know, should be taught in every classroom, especially a middle school classroom. Yeah. What about, how do you curb that? Or how do you, as a school board member, how do you address when parental involvement gets too, shall we say, over political or misinformed?
Sure. So, I mean, and there's a few different points to this, because, I mean, we can all agree that, yes, parents should definitely be a part of the conversation. And yes, on several different issues, parents should be leading the charge, because it's absolutely true that no one knows your child better than you. Mm-hmm. In the other sense, we also have to understand that when you're elected for the Waukesha School Board, about less than 20 or 30% of the voting age district actually goes out into those elections. Mm-hmm. And then once you're elected, irregardless of how many people voted for you, you are still responsible for representing and serving all 90,000 residents. Mm-hmm. So I think what happens sometimes is that a lot of members get confused based off of who they served and who voted for them. Okay. There's a lot of members on our school board that only represents those who voted for them.
Sure.
Simply because they may be in the plurality of votes. Okay. When in reality, they won by winning 19%. Sure. And so we have to look at the whole picture of, we represent 90,000 constituents.
Yeah, can I ask where that number comes from? Because I know the city's population is somewhere around 70,000. Are you including that student, that district? I guess it also includes the Breakaway Republic of the Village of Waukesha and maybe Big Bend or some of those surrounding areas.
Sure. So it's the city of Waukesha. It is a slice and a half of Pewaukee. It is parts of the town of Brookfield. Okay. We get a little bit to Wales and Genesee, and then a couple of neighborhoods, Maguanago, a little south.
Sure. And some of these are very rural areas too.
Yes, they absolutely are.
So interesting. So now I appreciate it, because I would hate for someone to listen to this podcast and say, boy, this Sam D'Amico thinks there's 90,000 people living in Waukesha. That's 20,000 more than the official count. So
my math is better than that.
So, but you knew something I didn't. So good on you. So, what about expanding full day 4K to provide a strong start and encourage families to stay in Waukesha schools? Tell us more about that and how that would entice families to stay in Waukesha schools.
Sure. So there's a lot of districts that are neighboring us that do provide this opportunity for families. And, you know, when you're first buying your home, what is one of the first things that either parents or aspiring parents look to? What school district is this house in? And, you know, childcare can be very expensive for some families. And oftentimes going through your school district is going to be the cheapest and best option for you. Because Sure. then when they leave childcare, leave daycare, leave 4K, what they're going to do is likely stay in that district. And so if we can encourage more parents to come to Waukesha, because we provide the opportunities and the services they need directly at the start of their child's education, instead of going to Pewaukee or Elmbrook or other districts that may provide these services, we can keep more families in Waukesha instead of having them choice out or move out entirely.
Sure, sure. And that choice out is still an option, isn't Yeah, I was very concerned about that. So let's see what Max has to say here. Okay, so in the 3 minutes we have left, what do you want listeners to know about Sam D'Amico that we haven't discussed already, and why they should take a hard look at your candidacy and consider voting for you?
Sure. So, you know, one thing about me in this campaign is that when you compare me to all of the other candidates, all of our other candidates have built their families and built their lives in Waukesha. They either were born here and stayed here, or they grew up somewhere else and decided to move their family here. I'm the only candidate that is aspiring to build a family here, aspiring to build my life here. And it's really that drive, that motivation that makes me want to run for the school board, because we know that strong public schools, quality public schools, build our communities into strong, thriving communities where more people are encouraged to come than encouraged to leave. And so my big driver, my big reason why, is because I want to make Waukesha the best school district, not only for people that I know that are still in school, not only for parents that I know have kids in school, but for the kids that I hope to have one day and the kids that I hope to send to Waukesha Public Schools. There are so many parents and teachers that left Waukesha schools within the past 4 years. My goal is to not only bring them back, but bring back more families that are looking at Waukesha as a competitive, attractive alternative to other school districts, and to encourage more people, especially more students that are currently here and graduating soon, to stay here, to go to our colleges, to go to our places of work, and to stay here and to build their families here. So that's my big driver. That's my big reason why. And that's what I want people to know, that this comes from a genuine desire to make Waukesha the best community it can be for myself, for others.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. You know, and I'm intrigued by your candidacy, Sam, because of your unique experiences coming out of school. And it reminded me of a guy I went to high school with who, in his second year of college, he was going to school locally, was elected to our school board and had some really unique insights that were a great complement to what the other professionally experienced board members were bringing to the table. And I'm wondering if that could become a thing or some sort of mandate where perhaps at least one or two, how many board members, is it a 12 member board? I always forget, or eight,
nine.
Okay. How interesting would that be if it was a mandate that two of those board members had to be recent graduates of the Waukesha school system? Is that something you would advocate for based on, again, your unique platform?
Sure. So I think it would be a unique idea. Definitely one to look into. I would have some concerns with creating more regulations onto who could be a candidate. I always think that that should be as fair and equal and open as a process. Sure. But there are other school boards that do have student representatives that either get elected or appointed directly from schools, either by the board themselves or by principals, to come and advocate for things that students are seeing and students are looking at. And so that is something I'm definitely going to advocate for, because while I am more than joyous that I can run for the school board of Waukesha and run to represent all 90,000 residents that we have in our community, and I'm going to do that with my whole heart, we should already have student representation on our board. That should be something that we already see.
Sure. Okay. Excellent point. How are we doing on time, Maxie? Okay. So, hey, Samuel D'Amico, candidate for school board, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck on the rest of the campaign trail. Remember, Election Day is April 1st, and you will be a fool on April Fool's Day if you do not vote, especially in this very important school district election. Early voting's going on already. I cast my vote just a few days ago. So, again, I want to thank you again, Sam, for joining us. Best of luck. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Go Ramila Mahagav Goler, as I say in my family's Irish language. Thanks again to the mighty Max Martinson. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. And see ya!